I wanted to ask you about a couple of these in particular. One of them is something that I think chief information security officers have struggled with for a long time, and that is educating themselves about the budget process. Why is it critical for CISOs as well as CIOs to understand how the budget process works their agency?
Well, you know, when the budget's tight, you have to realize that you're in competition with all of your counterpart office directors and such. So just because you're doing cybersecurity and protecting the agency's information doesn't give you the inside track. Everybody understands that cybersecurity is important, but everybody, you know, all of your counterparts also have needs related to the mission that have to be met. So you have to prepare yourself to be able to understand the budget process on equal terms.
One of the things you mentioned is that the CISO should have a close working relationship with the CFO. There's been this ongoing dynamic where CIOs and CISOs have said, we don't really feel like we're even, in some agencies, part of the C-suite, where we're kind of the follow-on guys, or in some cases, or gals, and in some cases even still treated like just the BlackBerry people. Is it possible for the CIOs and CISOs to kind of insert themselves into a process where they may not be asked to be a part?
Yeah, I think they can. You know, it's not an automatic sort of thing, certainly, but with the proper management support, then you'll get the, I guess, respect that you deserve as being a part of the C-suite. The CFO is probably the most important player in tight budget times, and whether it be formal, informal, the relationship that the CISO and the CIO have with the CFO is really critical. And it's important that they really understand what you're asking for. You have to pull the jargon out. You have to present it in terms of the department mission so that they understand it and can act on it when funds may be available.
Item number four on your list of 8 recommendations for better security in a tight budget is plan for funding shortfalls. Is that something that you don't maybe see often enough at federal agencies, where people are ready to go with a list of priorities when money does loosen up?
Well, you know, that's true. I think your projects have to be shovel ready, as they say. You do whatever you can with the contracting office to get your projects on the shelf so they're as far downstream as they possibly can be, you know, subject to the availability of funds. So when the funds do come, if they do, then you can get going with the contracts, and hopefully that you'll already have contract vehicles in place that allow you to expend those funds rapidly and efficiently, which is really one of the requirements that CFOs normally have.
Number 7 on this list seems pretty self-evident, but I guess it's not happening if you think it's worth mentioning, and that's just very simply engage management. Communicate with the agency head, the CIO, and the rest of the top executives at the agency.
Yeah, that should be intuitive that you need to have strong management support. But I think in times when money is tight, you need to be able to articulate your most critical needs in addressing risks to the agency mission. And face-to-face meetings with the executives, with the leadership of the organization go a long ways in helping you explain that, being able to answer questions about it and helping them put it in context in language that they understand, so that it's just not meeting some external requirement, but that cybersecurity actually goes and underlies, serves as a foundation for performance of the agency mission.
Are there any of these 8 items that maybe you see less often than the others, or that are more critical than the others, or that if you were going to rank them would be at the top or close to the top of the list, or are they all pretty equally important, do you think?
Well, I think they're all important depending on what's going on in your organization. I think the first one that we put in the article is increasing efficiency. Once again, that's fairly self-evident. But those security processes that you have, if they can be automated, if they can be documented, if they can be performed or constructed in such a way that they can be done consistently, repeatably, then it's going to take less manpower and less thinking in order to get them performed. When that happens, then what funding, what resources you have could perhaps be diverted elsewhere. So I think it is a good idea to try to automate, spend the money, make the investment in automation, as long as it's actually meeting a real risk need. Then the last one I think is awfully important too, and that's one perhaps that is overlooked in terms of operating on a shoestring, and that's keeping what you have, retaining your trained cybersecurity personnel that know your agency, know your policies, know the threats to your agency. When agencies lose resources, sometimes coming along with that is lack of promotions, loss of awards money and training. There's always going to be the temptation to your people to move on where they can get those awards and training and that sort of thing. So you have to do whatever you can to try to retain those people. And we offer up some considerations there, alternative work schedules. Let them work from different places at different times of day. Be creative about using those personnel and trying to elevate their quality of life, because it really costs quite a lot to replace someone that you've been relying on for a while.
Pat, I appreciate you talking about this list. We've got a link to it at federalnewsradio.com, the full list posted on gcn.com, and you can find it on the in-depth page. I appreciate you being on to talk about it this afternoon.